Good evening, happy holidays, and welcome to this special Outbeat Extra. I'm Greg Moralia. Well, 2013 will go down as one of the most historic in the LGBT civil rights movement. We've experienced a dramatic shift in our overall acceptance this year. In just 1 year, we doubled the number of states providing full marriage equality, and we continue to become more visible as people we know from television, film, and professional sports came out in droves. We saw more straight allies come out in support of our fight for equality, some changing their views on issues like marriage, while others abandoned their political party entirely. Even the Boy Scouts evolved, at least somewhat, and will begin accepting gay young people in 2014. 2013 brought us change politically, socially, in the family, and even in the traditional church. Tonight, we take a look back at a few of the historic moments and some of our favorite segments from this last year. But first, here's your Outbeat Radio news for this Sunday, December 19th, 2013.
I have found Outbeat Radio news, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
British codebreaker Alan Turing, a gay man who was instrumental in helping to end World War II, was given a royal pardon this week, almost 60 years after he was convicted of crimes involving homosexual acts. Turing was a mathematician whose code-breaking algorithms helped pave the way for the modern computer, but most importantly, Turing's algorithms and a machine known as the bomb helped Allied forces break the German Enigma code, often credited with opening the door to Adolf Hitler's defeat. British Justice Secretary Chris Grayling said, Dr. Turing deserves to be remembered and recognized for his fantastic contributions to the war effort and his legacy to science. In 1952, Turing became one of nearly 50,000 men who were sentenced under the 1885 Criminal Law Amendment Act, making homosexual acts a crime. He was chemically castrated in lieu of being imprisoned. In 1954, he was found dead due to an apparent suicide after eating an apple laced with cyanide. And here in the States, Utah's state attorney general has been turned down by two courts so far in his fight for a stay order on Judge Selby's decision that Utah's ban on same-sex marriage is unconstitutional. Most recently, a federal appeals court ruled this last Tuesday that gay marriages can continue in Utah, denying a request from the state to halt the same-sex weddings that have been occurring at a rapid rate for the last week and a half. The state's motion read, quote, until the final word has been spoken by this court or the Supreme Court on the constitutionality of Utah's marriage law, Utah should not be required to enforce Judge Selby's view of a new and fundamentally different definition of marriage. The 10th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals responded with a short ruling that a decision to put gay marriage on hold was not warranted, but said it would put the case on a fast track for a full appeal of the ruling. Utah's last chance to temporarily stop marriages would be the U.S. Supreme Court. Utah's Governor Gary Herbert declined to comment on the decision. Carl Tobias, a constitutional law professor at Virginia's University of Richmond, who has tracked legal battles for gay marriage, thinks Utah faces long odds to get their stay granted, considering two courts have already rejected it and marriages have been going on for more than a week. He said, the longer this goes on, the less likely it becomes that any court is going to entertain a stay. And here in California, a San Diego man believes he was targeted in an alleged Christmas Eve attack that left him with a broken eye socket and three cracked ribs because he is gay. Local ABC affiliate 10 News reported that Dwayne Wynn, a resident of San Diego's Hillcrest neighborhood, also required 18 stitches in his side after being beaten by a group of unidentified men in the wee hours of December 24th. Wynn said, I've never been so scared in my entire life. The last thing I see is a baseball bat being swapped in my face. He said, I literally thought I was going to die. I thought they were going to kill me. They were beating me that bad. Wynn said that he heard a car approach from behind and turned around when men emerged from the car and shouted anti-gay slurs. Wynn's attack comes on the heels of news that the numbers of overall hate crimes reported in California dropped about 12% in 2012, with an overall decline of about one-third over the past decade. And finally, as we conclude our last Outbeat News segment of the year, I'd like to thank our news partners, The Advocate, Out Magazine, Hear Media, The Huffington Post, LGBTQ Nation, and GaySonoma.com for all of their hard work throughout the year covering LGBT news. You can find links and live feeds to all of these news sources on our own website at outbeatnews.com. your one place to access all of your LGBT news from here in the North Bay and beyond. Join us in the new year on Facebook and Twitter and stay informed. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia.
Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
The headlines in 2013 were filled with LGBT news almost daily, and whether it was a celebrity coming out or another state granting marriage equality, 2013 may go down in history as one of the gayest yet. Here's NPR's Ari Shapiro.
At the start of this year, millions of people watched President Obama deliver his second inaugural address. Gay rights advocates were shocked and delighted to hear him speak forcefully for their cause.
The most evident of truths that all of us are created equal is the star that guides us still, just as it guided our forebears through Seneca Falls and Selma and Stonewall.
With one alliterative phrase, the president connected women's suffrage, civil rights, and the LGBT movement into a single fight for equality. And he went on.
Our journey is not complete until our gay brothers and sisters are treated like anyone else under the law. For if we are truly created equal, then surely the love we commit to one another must be equal as well.
The justices of the Supreme Court sat just behind the president, and a few months later, they delivered the biggest gay rights ruling in at least a decade. In a 5-4 vote, the court struck down the Federal Defense of Marriage Act.
Today is like a spectacular event for me.
84-year-old Edith Windsor challenged the law that defined marriage as between a man and a woman. On the steps of the high court, Windsor remembered her wife and partner of 40 years.
I mean, it's a lifetime kind of event. And I know that the spirit of my late spouse, the Aspire, okay, is right here watching and listening and would be very proud and happy of where we've come to.
On the same day, the justices struck down California's same-sex marriage ban. California was one of 9 states, including Utah, to legalize marriage this year. That's as many as all the previous years combined. Evan Wolfson runs the group Freedom to Marry. He remembers 30 years ago when he decided to write his law school thesis about same-sex marriage.
I brought it to several professors and asked them to be the advisor to my paper, and many of them turned me down. Some of them because it seemed too far-fetched. It seemed too unattainable. And some turned it down because they probably thought it was a goal really not worth fighting for and therefore not particularly worth analyzing.
When Wolfson created Freedom to Marry 10 years ago, not one state allowed gay couples to wed. Today, almost 40% of Americans live in states where same-sex marriage is legal. On the other side, more than 30 states have constitutional amendments banning same-sex marriage, but that trend has been slowing. The last state to pass such a ban was North Carolina in 2012. Chad Griffin runs the gay rights group Human Rights Campaign.
Look, in many ways, we have two Americas today, right? We have the coasts and a couple of dots in the middle where we have nearly achieved full legal equality. But then you have the rest of the country. You have the South and you have the Midwest. And those places, they only saw and read about those victories.
But even in the South and the Midwest, people are seeing more gay characters on TV, corporations are becoming more LGBT-friendly, and this year broke new ground in Congress, too. Right now, it's legal in many states to fire people for being gay. In the Senate, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, protecting LGBT workers, came up for a vote and passed 64-32. Not one lawmaker spoke on the Senate floor against it, and some of ENDA's most vocal supporters were Republicans. ENDA prompted Mark Kirk of Illinois to give his first Senate floor speech since suffering a major stroke almost 2 years ago.
I think it's particularly appropriate for an Illinois Republican to speak on behalf of this measure in the true tradition of Everett McKinley Dirksen and Abraham Lincoln, men who gave us the 1964 Civil Rights Act and the 13th Amendment to the Constitution.
Winnie Stackelberg has spent decades in Washington, and she says the change here is dramatic. She's now with the Liberal Center for American Progress.
I was around in 1996 when the Senate failed 49-50 to pass ENDA. And so 17 years later, that is a huge, huge step forward for ending discrimination in the workplace against gay and transgendered employees.
But Speaker John Boehner kept the bill from a vote in the House, meaning ENDA has not become law. Peter Sprigg is with the Family Research Council, a group that opposes ENDA and same-sex marriage.
Certainly, there were some victories for the homosexual activist movement this year, but some of the major issues were kind of half victories.
For example, the Prop 8 Supreme Court ruling on California's marriage law was only a partial victory. It did not mandate same-sex marriage across the country. And Sprigg thinks the country could be entering a period of stasis on marriage, where the easy battles on both sides have all been fought.
So I think we may be headed for sort of a standoff where the real battle will be to see if they can repeal any of the existing constitutional amendments, which exist in a majority of states.
Beyond politics, gay people had some dramatic breakthroughs in 2013. This was the year Pope Francis reached out to gay Catholics in a way no pope has done before.
Se una persona è gay e cerca il Signore e ha buona volontà, ma chi sono io per giudicarla?
He said, if a person is gay and seeks God and has good will, who am I to judge him? This year, California and New Jersey became the first states to ban conversion therapy for minors. 2013 was the year the country's oldest and largest ex-gay group shut down, Exodus President Alan Chambers.
I understand why I'm distrusted and why Exodus is hated. I cannot ask you to forgive me. That would be presumptuous. But please know that I'm deeply sorry.
On the Oprah Winfrey Network, Chambers apologized for the harm he and his organization caused gay people.
I'm sorry that when I celebrated a person coming to Christ and surrendering their sexuality to him, that I callously celebrated the end of relationships that broke your heart.
So what's responsible for this massive national sea change? Chad Griffin of HRC attributes it to the same thing a San Francisco city supervisor talked about 40 years ago.
Harvey Milk said it in 1973, the most important thing we can do is come out at home, come out at school, come out at church. Because when you know us, you don't hate us.
2013 may have been the gayest year yet, but people like Chad Griffin argue that 2012 was also the gayest year to date, and so was 2011 before that. For the last several years, the trend in this country has moved in only one direction. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Washington.
When Ellen DeGeneres came out in 1997, she was abandoned almost entirely by the entertainment industry and the public at large. But in 2013, it was an entirely different experience for people like Olympians Tom Daley and Brian Boitano, Maria Bello, Wentworth Miller, Darren Young, professional basketball player Jason Collins, professional soccer player Robbie Rogers, Cleve Davis, Jody Foster, and Matt Dallas, just to name a few. And we saw plenty of straight allies come out, too, in support of equality for LGBT people. UPS, Caterpillar, and Lockheed all withdrew financial support for the Boy Scouts of America in 2013 because of the Scouts' discriminatory policy prohibiting boys who are openly gay from participating. Allies do make a difference, because this year, the Scouts changed their policy, and starting in just a few days on January 1st, boys who are openly gay can be Scouts. And music continued to be a powerful force in creating change this year. Straight allies Macklemore and Ryan Lewis's Same Love has taken on a life of its own and become an anthem for the same-sex marriage movement. With over 1 million views on YouTube and multiple award nominations, the pair's Same Love has established a legacy that will sustain itself in the years to come.
When I was in the third grade, I thought that I was gay, 'cause I could draw, my uncle was, and I kept my room straight. I told my mom, tears rushing down my face. She's like, Ben, you've loved girls since before pre-K. Trippin'. Yeah, I guess she had a point, didn't she? Bunch of stereotypes all in my head. I remember doing the math, like, yeah, I'm good at Little League. A preconceived idea of what it all meant. But those that like the same sex have the characteristics. The right-wing conservatives think it's a decision. And you can be cured with some treatment and religion. Man-made rewiring of a predisposition, playing God. Oh nah, here we go. America the brave still fears what we don't know. God loves all his children, it's somehow forgotten. But we paraphrase a book written 3,500 years ago.
Bye-bye,
I don't know.
Bye-bye. And I can't change. Even if I tried, even if I wanted to.
I was gay, I would think hip-hop hates me.
Have you read the YouTube comments lately? Man, that's gay, gets dropped on the daily. We become so numb to what we're saying. A culture founded from oppression. Yeah, we don't have acceptance for them. Call each other faggots behind the keys of a message board. A word rooted in hate, yet our genre still ignores it. Gay is synonymous with the lesser. It's the same hate that's caused wars from religion, gender to skin color, the complexion of your pigment. The same fight that led people to walkouts and sit-ins. It's human rights for everybody. There is no difference. Live on and be yourself. When I was at church, they taught me something else. If you preach hate at the service, those words aren't anointed. That holy water that you soak in has been poisoned. When everyone else is more comfortable remaining voiceless rather than fighting for humans that have had their rights stolen. I might not be the same, but that's not important. No freedom till we're equal. Damn right I support it. Don't press pause. Progress march on. With the veil over our eyes, we turn our back on the cause. Till the day that my uncles can be united by law. When kids aren't walking around the hallway plagued by pain in their heart. A world so hateful some would rather die than be who they are. And a certificate on paper isn't gonna solve it all, but it's a damn good place to start. No law is gonna change us. We have to change us. Whatever God you believe in, we come from the same one. Strip away the fear, underneath it's all the same love. About time that we raised up.
And I can't sex. Change. Even if I tried, even if I wanted to. And I can't change. Even if I tried, even if I wanted to. My love, my love.
And Macklemore's Same Love inspired dozens of people to make videos supporting marriage equality, and even some to make live marriage proposals. Here's one such proposal that happened on ABC's Good Morning America.
You ready? Let's go!
It's the proposal that's gone viral. Kara took her girlfriend Valerie to see Macklemore and Ryan Lewis at GMA Summer Concert Series to celebrate their one-year anniversary, hoping to catch a live performance of one of their favorite songs, Same Love.
She keeps me warm. She keeps me warm.
The first time we heard it, we were both just very moved by it.
And while they stood in the crowd, their sign proudly proclaiming Same Love, Valerie got an idea.
I was behind her, and I leaned the sign on her back, and I chicken scratched, can I propose to my girlfriend on stage? So it was definitely on a whim.
She was planning on popping the question soon, so she had the ring with her. And during the commercial break, our warm-up comedian Tom Kelly saw the sign.
Once you looked in Val's eyes and I said, are you serious about this? She said, yes, I really want to propose to my girlfriend. And she said it with such intensity, you had to pull the woman on stage.
The couple went on stage. Valerie got down on one knee, and in front of more than 5,000 adoring fans, magic, together shouting. And what better way to celebrate their engagement than with Macklemore himself? After all, he was singing their song.
The same love, about time that we raised up.
I can't
And it wasn't just marriage proposals that filled YouTube with intimate moments. The internet was literally filled with people coming out live to those people they love.
Basically, I wanted to talk about how I was able to get to this point of coming from basically extreme depression and not being able to accept myself at all to being able to, you know, come out and, you know, make a video about my experience. So, I mean, that's like, if you would have asked me a year ago if I thought I was ever going to be able to come out, I probably would have just said no. Like, I'd probably just deny it and then fake it and you know, put on that mask that, you know, a lot of people wear in society today, which is so unfortunate. But basically, this video is just to talk about, you know, how important unconditional love is. And it sounds so cheesy, but when you're in the darkest place in your heart, and I've been in some moments where I just thought I was never going to make it through, and I just never wanted to leave my room, my bed, basically just like depression to the max, all because I was living in a mask, a secret world where I didn't want anyone to see who I really was. And it was because of that unconditional love, really, from my mom that I was able to pull through those tough times. Because when all you see around you is darkness, which is really, for depression, for people that don't understand depression, basically what it is all you can see around you is darkness and sadness, and it makes the world look really sad. But really, it's all your perception, because it's just your own feelings. But when you're in those places, it just feels like it's going to last forever, and it's the worst place to be in. But when you have someone that loves you so unconditionally, like my mom does, she's just the warmest hearted person I've ever met, and she's basically just there to love me, even if she doesn't know how to help me. Like, she knows I've called her crying. I didn't tell her exactly the reason, but you know, she's just always, her intention is just to love me so unconditionally. She completely accepts me for who I am. She's just one of those people that lights up a room with her like warm heart. She's so beautiful on the inside. One of the things that in Vancouver, that one of the reasons I came home was because I was kind of like depressed and dealing with a lot of stuff. So I just wanted to write you guys a letter to say like how much I love you.
I know, but why are you saying that to us now?
There's also something else I have to tell you guys.
What?
And I'm gay.
That's okay.
I wanted to tell you.
There's nothing wrong with it. I had a feeling. It's cool. It's cool. Why are you crying? There's nothing wrong with it. We love you.
Thank you.
Or whoever you are, it doesn't matter. You know what? Mike, why are you crying? You are who you are. We love you. You're the best person in the world.
Because I've been keeping it in for so long.
Do you think I didn't know? Mike, of course we love you for you. It doesn't matter. I'm glad. I'm glad. I mean, I'm happy for you. I'm happy for you. We're happy for you. We love you. Totally. We're here for you, and we want to be here always.
Okay.
We love you so much. It's fine.
Isn't that cute? That's so cute. But this doesn't change anything.
Are you kidding me?
We're not idiots.
Okay.
We're not idiots.
Oh my God, Michael, you are the best person. And I want you to be happy. And that's all that matters. And that's all we want from your life.
Okay.
Is for you to be happy.
Thank you. Thank you guys for being so
Are you kidding?
And I love you both.
Oh my God. Mike, we love you more. We love you more. Don't you feel better now?
Yeah.
Like really? Your whole life is going to change.
I'm going to tell you something.
Sure.
And you're the first friend I'm telling this to. But I just want to let you know that I'm gay. And I told my parents already, and I wanted you to be the first friend that I'm talking to. And like...
That was Michael Gorelick. And when people like this share their story and they go viral, they show the world what unconditional love really looks and sounds like. Last May, Outbeat Radio hosts of Living Proof, Sheridan Gold, and Dr. Diana Grayer talked with a local family about their unconditional love.
And we are in studio with two moms having a Mother's Day celebration a little bit early. The two moms are Janet and Linda, and they have their kids in studio with them. We have Alec and Sarah. So Janet, why don't we start with you, and can you just tell us about your story, about how you came to be a mother, and how Alec came to be in the world?
It's a pretty special story, actually. I came out late in life, and I always wanted to have children, but it never happened. And I met someone several years ago, my ex-partner, who wanted to have a family, and we decided that maybe we would do that. We felt that that was really important to both of us. And so we talked about, do we want to have you know, a father that we know, or do we want to not know the person? And we went to a couple of workshops at the Lion Clinic in San Francisco, and we decided that we wanted to have a known donor. And so we asked around friends, and our male friends were, no, not really, you know, so it wasn't that easy. And finally, there was a friend of a friend who was wanting to be a part of this, and that's how Alec came to be. And he wanted progeny. He did not want to have fatherhood, which made it really nice for us because we didn't really want to have, you know, a whole bunch of parents. And so, so anyhow, Alec was conceived, and I adopted Alec right away. My partner had him, and I adopted him, and I actually raised him because my partner preferred to be the working person. And I was at, you know, later age when I was able to actually retire. And not really retire, but I did. Took care of Alec until he was five, and I went back to work part-time so that I could be, you know, working around the hours that he would be in school or preschool or whatever. And so it's been the most wonderful 14 years of my life.
Aww.
We are, I mean, they say, you know, blood is thicker than
water.
No, mm-hmm. I don't think so. I mean, a lot of people actually think that we are related more than being adopted then.
Mm-hmm.
And my family has adopted him just as one of the family.
Mm.
So it's really wonderful. And I love seeing him grow. I keep thinking he's graduating from eighth grade this year. And I keep thinking, my God, he was just a baby not long ago. And it's really hard for me to see that he's now moving into, should I share the word that you use? this is sort of funny, but when he was the rite of passage, and I said, do you know what the rite of passage is? And he says, well, I'm not sure, you know. And I said, why don't you find out? So he came back and he says, I've found out what it is, and it's adultery. And I said, I don't think so. I believe it's called adulthood. And so anyhow, that's been one of our jokes. But but he said it very innocently, not knowing, so I had to explain what that meant.
How so beautiful.
That's part of my story. Uh-huh. And I am going to look forward to the rest of his growing up, and I wish I was younger so I could enjoy more, you know, but I'm not. I'm an old mom.
Well, how old are you?
I am actually 69.
Mm.
So
never know.
Never, never would have guessed that at all. Young spirit. Oh, yes. Wow.
He's kept me young. He's kept me young.
Beautiful. So, Alex, I'm curious to how you feel listening to your mom. How many times have you heard this story?
I've heard it quite a few times, but different versions, you could say, but they're all relatively the same. So, yeah.
So, Linda.
I got together with Sarah's other mom when her sons were 5, 8, and 11. And so we raised those boys for a number of years. And we decided we wanted to have one of our own, and so we did try to go the artificial insemination route, and we weren't successful. And we looked at other kinds of adoption and other possibilities, and then I worked in a real estate office at the time in Oregon, and one of my coworkers came in and said her daughter was pregnant was going to be giving the baby up for adoption. And I called home, and I said, so are we interested? And my partner yelled, yes! She was in a special program and came to live in Oregon for the last few months of her pregnancy. So we actually got to go to all of the doctor's appointments. I was the labor coach for Sarah's biological mom and cut the cord and was the first to hold her and feed her. And so a really special bond. And the boys were all there the day she was born. And, you know, it was a really great experience. And, you know, she looks just like her brothers. So she looks like she's part of the family. Like, we couldn't have planned it better. So it's been a pretty incredible experience.
So, Sarah, what's that big grin about? Let's hear your experience of your mom telling this story again.
Well, I've heard it many, many times. And I don't know, I just always feel like I was meant to be part of this family. So I'm always just, like, it's happy whenever I hear this, because I'm like, I'm just where I'm supposed to be. So that's why big grin was there.
So, Linda, I'm curious about the adoption piece. How long did you tell, how long did it take for you to tell Sarah that she was adopted? I'm just always curious about that story.
Oh, Sarah knew from day one. We had pictures of the birth. My partner at the time is really notorious for pictures. I mean, so there were pictures you don't even want to look at. But there was the most beautiful picture of the doctor's hands as Sarah's coming out. I mean, so that was always part of her story. Mm-hmm. She always knew. And for the first couple of years, her biological mom would come see her. And then it just got too hard for her. You know, she said, you know, she looks just like me. Mm-hmm. And she said, so it's really hard. So, you know, if she wants to see me later, we'll do that. But, you know, it's hard for me to do now.
Mm-hmm. And what is later? What is that?
Whenever Sarah's ready. If she decides at some point she's interested. And so I've always said to Sarah, you know, that's your choice. But we're the kind of family where we feel like Sarah was born into our family for a reason. Mm. And even though my partner, her other mother, and I aren't together anymore, we know still that there's a reason she's part of this family. And that our journeys were supposed to intertwine.
Mm. So, Sarah, you go to Novato High School.
Yes.
So what is your experience there? I mean, is there something you can add or, you know, take away or whatever as far as what your mom has said about your school experience?
Not really. I mean, most of the time I don't even come out and tell people that I have two moms. It's more like something I mention in passing. Then people stare at me like, oh, wait, you have two moms? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, dude, that's so awesome. So it's just like everybody thinks it's cool. So there's not really an issue at all.
Mm-hmm. And you feel fine bringing friends home and introducing them to your mother?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All my friends love my moms. Aww. Every single one of them. One of my best friends up in Portland, she actually started calling my mom's mom, actually, just because she was over there and we had a strong bond, but, like, nobody really cared. They all just love my parents, so that was really awesome.
That is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Alex, we would like to hear about you and your relationship as far as having a lesbian mom or moms and your experience at school with your peers.
Well, all of my friends they don't really care if I have two moms because it's very common where we live in the valley, the San Geronimo Valley. There are some of my friends have lesbian parents, and all of my friends are accepting. They don't really care at all. I mean, I have friends come over all the time, and they love my parents. They don't really bother. So, I mean, my teachers, they're not, like, they're fine with it. They don't really care that much, actually. So it's good, though.
You know how some teachers will say, make sure you check with your mom and dad. Like, if there's a trip or something, they'll always say mom and dad, or did you ask your mom and dad this? And so, Alec, are they sensitive to you? Do they say, make sure you ask your moms?
They just say, ask your parents.
Okay.
And on all the field trip permission slips and all that, it just says parent/guardian signature. So,
Sarah, what do you want people to know about your relationship, about you and your mom?
My mom is awesome. She and my other mom split a little over a year ago. And that was a really, really difficult time for me. And I was actually very, very upset with her. And even though I was angry with her, she just stayed with me, you know, she was there and waited for me to come back basically to my senses. And so we've been able to build an even better relationship than what we had before. And, I totally love the fact that she just was there and, you know, she didn't give up on me, even though stuff was going down, and she just stayed there and was always there for me, and I appreciate that, and I really like that part of her because I know that the one person I can always count on is my mother.
Mm-hmm. Well, how about you take a moment and look at your mom and say that?
I love you. I adore you. You're amazing. Thank you for being my mom.
Oh.
Alec, you want to share?
Well, I've always had a good relationship with both of my parents. I've had a more substantial relationship after the divorce. My mother's been a little closer to me since then. So, 'cause I'm not as distracted, get more time alone with each parent. It's very good for me, I feel. A lot less stressful than before.
So can you, not to put you on the spot or anything, but can you do what Sarah did? Can you look at your mom and give her some love?
I love you and I always will. Don't leave me.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to a special Outbeat Extra on the new 91 KRCB FM Windsor, Santa Rosa. Well, there's little doubt that marriage equality was the top LGBT news story of 2013. Marriage has become an icon for LGBT equality. And while many would argue that a federal non-employment discrimination law would have more sweeping positive impact on the lives of LGBT people, the strength that marriage brings to our families and relationships is certainly unquestionable. The visibility of marriage equality has created a momentum of change in the overall acceptance of LGBT people, even reaching and impacting the United States Supreme Court. Here's the Outbeat Radio News segment from June 30th, 2013.
I have found Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
This week was both historic and history-making as the United States Supreme Court announced their decisions on both the Federal Defense of Marriage Act and California's Proposition 8. This past Thursday, it was 10 years to the day when the Supreme Court announced its decision in the landmark Lawrence v. Texas case, striking down state-held sodomy laws. And now, one decade later to the day, the court ruled in a 5-4 vote that Section 3 of the Federal Defense of Marriage Act violates the Fifth Amendment and is unconstitutional. This means that all legally married same-sex couples in the United States will receive all of the same federal benefits and protections as opposite-sex couples. The last decision to be announced was by Chief Justice Roberts on California's Proposition 8. Again, in a 5-4 vote, the court voted to vacate the Ninth Circuit's most recent decision on the grounds that Proposition 8 supporters lacked standing to even bring the case forward. The court said, quote, "We have never before upheld the standing of a private party to defend the constitutionality of a state statute when state officials have chosen not to. We decline to do so now for the first time." By taking this approach, the Supreme Court stopped just short of declaring Proposition 8 unconstitutional. This means that the injunction issued by Judge Walker of the Federal District Court stands and bars the state of California from enforcing Proposition 8. Governor Brown responded immediately by saying, quote, "After years of struggle, the United States Supreme Court today has made same-sex marriage a reality in California. In light of this decision, I have directed the California Department of Health Services to advise the state's counties that they must begin issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples in California as soon as the Ninth Circuit confirms the stay is lifted." We talked with Santa Rosa resident Jay Foxworthy, whose family was featured in the documentary A Right to Love, An American Family, right after the decisions came out. Here's what he had to say.
We were super excited. I mean, as a married couple here in California, we've been together 18 years and married for going on 5 years. It's, there's a lot of protections federally we did not have, and there's been a lot of problems in our relationship, things that I've had to do because the federal government has not protected us under the law. And now we are 100% legally married in the United States of America.
And that same week, the stay order was lifted, and same-sex marriages resumed in California immediately. In fact, during the San Francisco Pride celebration that weekend, City Hall stayed open and married hundreds of couples who were celebrating Pride like never before. And since those Supreme Court rulings, marriage equality has become law in 5 more states, including New Jersey, Hawaii, Illinois, New Mexico, and most recently, the conservative home of the Mormon Church, Utah. Here's KRCL Radio.
And it is a historic day, a seismic shift for gay rights here in the state of Utah and across America. Utah right now is the center of the universe. Everybody is watching very carefully what's happening here, and it has a major impact on what will happen in the future. I want to welcome to the show old friend Dustin Lance Black. He Oscar-winning, award-winning screenwriter of the movie Milk, and has been a great gay activist and a great ally to the state of Utah, to the LGBT community here. Lance Black, welcome to KRCL.
Thanks for having me. What a day. I wish I was there with you.
I know. We've been having lots of parties. I'm also joined in studio Jesse Walker and Mark Hoffling. They were just married on Friday here at the city-county building. Epic day. Lance Black, what does this mean for the rest of the state? Or, I'm sorry, for the rest of the country?
Well, I think that the country is watching right now, and I think in particular states that do not yet enjoy full equality for gay and lesbian people, for their, you know, brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and coworkers, and I do think it's one of those moments where the world is watching, and no matter where you stand on this, it's hard to deny that a decision like this creates joy and love. You can see new families coming together, and I think that throughout Utah, and certainly throughout the Midwest and South, which really isn't enjoying equality yet, they're getting to see the face of it, and they're realizing this, what we've already realized, say, in California and New York and on the coast, that the sky doesn't fall,
right,
that it actually doesn't hurt anyone, and in fact, it just creates more love and joy. And for many of the gay and lesbian people who want to have families, it creates more stable family units that are actually protected and respected by their states and by the federal government. That there's really no downside to this.
Dustin Lance Black is absolutely right. There is no downside to this. And our opponents are beginning to realize this as they jump off the conservative ship to get on the right side of history.
Ohio Republican Senator Rob Portman has changed his stance on same-sex marriage. Along with that stunning reversal, the senator revealed one of his sons is gay. Portman told Ohio newspapers his change of heart started when his 21-year-old son, Will, came out to him and his wife, Jane, 2 years ago. Portman co-sponsored the Defense of Marriage Act, or DOMA, which defines marriage as being between a man and a woman. The senator explained in an exclusive interview with CNN's Dana Bash how his son's revelation started what he calls an interesting process.
Kind of rethinking my position, talking to my pastor and other religious leaders, and going through a process of, at the end, changing my position on the issue.
According to the Plain Dealer, Portman said his son didn't push him, but encouraged him to make the announcement, which comes as the Supreme Court prepares for arguments on DOMA in 2 weeks. Portman said factors in the timing of his announcement included getting comfortable with my position and wanting to do this before the politics of these court decisions make it more difficult to have an honest discussion. A reporter for the Cincinnati Inquirer points out Portman's about-face comes as many attitudes towards gay marriage are changing, but notes he's the only sitting Republican senator to hold that position. In contrast, Florida Senator Marco Rubio conveyed his views on same-sex marriage while speaking at the Conservative Political Action Conference Thursday.
Just because I believe that states should have the right to define marriage in a traditional way does not make me a bigot.
Senator Portman says among those friends he consulted on the issue, former Republican Vice President Dick Cheney, whose daughter Mary is gay. For Newsy, I'm Logan Tittle.
But marriage wasn't the only issue making LGBT headlines in 2013. After over 20 years of efforts to get an Employment Non-Discrimination Act passed, the Senate voted in October to ban discrimination in employment based on sexual orientation or gender identity.
Mr. President.
The Senator from Maine.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, we are about to make history in this chamber by passing the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, more commonly known as ENDA. We will establish the principle that the right to work free from discrimination is the fundamental right of each and every American, regardless of age, race, gender, religion, disability, national origin, and now, finally, sexual orientation. It has taken a long time to get to this day. More than 10 years ago, I was proud to join a lifelong champion of civil rights, the late Senator Ted Kennedy, as a co-sponsor of ENDA. That was back in 2002. Over the years, our country has rightly taken a stand against workplace discrimination in a wide variety of forms. It is past time that we close this gap for our LGBT employees. Mr. President, the time to pass this bill has come.
Four Republicans joined all Democrats in supporting the bill, and it was the first time the Senate has approved any law that protects both gay and transgender people from bias. But as expected, the bill is stalled in the Republican-controlled Congress. In August, our own state made LGBT history again, becoming the first state to pass a law allowing transgender students to choose which restroom or sports team they like, according to their own gender identity and expression.
Governor Jerry Brown signs into law a historic bill to protect transgender students. Yesterday, the governor signed the bill allowing transgender students in California to use whichever bathroom they choose and participate in the sports they believe matches their gender identity. It's not the first of its kind. Four other states also have policies to protect transgender youth. But California is the first to address the issue for public schools. It goes into effect January 1st of next year.
Almost immediately after Governor Brown signed this new bill into law, anti-LGBT advocates, including Frank Schubert, launched an effort to get the law repealed at the ballot, but it's still unclear whether they have garnered enough signatures to get the vote in 2014. And there were several major international LGBT stories of importance, including the election of Pope Francis to lead the Catholic Church.
Pope Francis says that the Catholic Church is, quote, obsessed with gays, abortion, and contraception. In a new interview with America Magazine, the Pope says the church needs to focus on finding balance and becoming more of a home for all, saying, quote, contraception. In a new interview with needs to focus, the Catholic Church is, quote, obsessed with gays, abortion, and contraception. In a new interview with America Magazine, the Pope says the church needs to focus on finding balance and becoming more of a home for all, saying, quote, otherwise, even the moral edifice of the church is likely to fall like a house of cards, losing the freshness and fragrance of the gospel. I'm joined now by HuffPo senior religion editor, Reverend Paul Rauschenbusch. Reverend, this is a big deal. This is the top story at the Huffington Post right now. What do you make of this?
I think it's a great story, and it's also a beautiful interview. I encourage people to read the whole thing because it's really a broad-ranging from the very beginning, how he was in Argentina, all the way to the present. It gives a big picture of how he approaches his ministry and all of his ideas for the church. So this was a small part of it, but a very important part, because what he's really saying is that the church is much bigger than these small issues that seem to be the focus over and over again of the activism of the church. And in fact, he wants to put everything in a context, he said, in a context of the real life of the individual. And that's the important idea.
And that is the important idea. And I think one thing that surprised me to a certain extent is that he was so candid, so honest. And I know that several people are saying he spoke about the role of women, his own personal faith in a very candid way.
Absolutely. And he also, one thing, he tells the story of someone who said, do you approve of homosexuality? And what he said is, I think about it and I think, God looking at a gay person, what does God think? Does he condemn and reject him, or does he embrace and support him? And that's the way he wants to be in that idea, as opposed to a real punitive, but the other thing that's going on here is a lot of people are saying he's not really changing doctrine, but what he is doing is changing focus, and that's very important.
And I think it's something that people will respond to. I think it's very easy to respond to that, especially when it seems so authentic. I remember when he was on the papal airplane, he had that comment about who am I to judge when asked about a gay priest, and on Thursday it seemed to me like now he's saying that applies to everybody, who am I to judge?
While the tide of support for LGBT people swelled in one direction during 2013 here in the United States, it moved with equal force the opposite way in countries like Russia, Uganda, and India. In June, Russia passed a law banning gay propaganda to minors, a vague description which could even mean waving a rainbow flag in public would land someone in jail for weeks. Other new laws still being considered in Russia would allow the government to take away children from same-sex parents. Frankly, much of what is happening in Russia to LGBT people is sounding familiar to what Hitler did to the Jews in the 1930s. India's High Court reversed a ruling of a lower court on that country's sodomy laws, making it illegal again to engage in homosexual acts. And in Uganda, a new law was passed making aggravated homosexuality punishable by life in prison. But what I find most disturbing about these stories is the fact that conservative Christian extremists from here in the United States, like Lou Engel, Scott Lively, and Brian Fisher, have been actively working in these foreign countries and raising funds here in the U.S. to get these horrific laws passed. As 2013 comes to a close, we should take time to celebrate our many gains this year and to look ahead at the work still to be done, both here in the U.S. and around the world. But for now, I'll leave you with more sounds from 2013 and beyond. From all of us here on the Outbeat Radio team, have a very happy New Year and a safe and healthy 2014.
When we set out 4 years ago, we said we were going to make this case before the Supreme Court, before the highest court in the land. Oh, it's a historic day.
We're proud to be here. We're certainly nervous, cautiously optimistic.
I think history will look back and feel proud that our country came together to support equality for all people.
A lot of people have made this possible by their generous support, and we want to thank them for it, and thank the millions of people around the country that have worked so hard to make this possible.
An incredible day of celebration for LGBT people all over this country.
Two major decisions put giant cracks in the dark wall of discrimination.
This is the culmination of what we hope we would accomplish.
This is the Supreme Court of the United States vindicating your right to decency, respect, and equality.
The president's on the line from Air Force One.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So today is a good day. It's the day I finally get to look at the man that I love and finally say, will you please marry me?
So what's next?
We're getting married. That's what's next.
The U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has just cleared the way for same-sex marriages to resume in California.
Congratulations! Oh, wow.
Do you, Chris, take Sandy to be your lawfully wedded wife?
I do.
By virtue of the power and authority vested in me,
on behalf of the state of California,
I now declare you spouses for life.
Let me pronounce you married.
This is the first day of the rest of our lives together.
It's unbelievable. It's been a 4.5 year battle against Proposition 8. It still feels good.
This is Paul Gautama, he's my husband.
Marriage has returned to the great state of California, and no one can take that away.
If you think about last June, when we won marriage equality for California in the Supreme Court, if you think of that as sort of the end of the beginning of the fight for marriage equality, this fight in Virginia is the beginning of the end.
Why did the American Foundation for Legal Rights get involved in another case? The answer is, how could we not? We are here today because the fight for full federal recognition of marriage equality in all 50 states goes on.
We intend to stay with it until marriage equality exists throughout the United States.
And freedom is going to ring out all over this country. Freedom will ring. It will.
It all happened so fast. As the great debate over gay marriage arrives at the Supreme Court, the astonishing thing is how much the country has changed. You could hear it in the confidence in the voices of the gay couples who brought the big case.
I believe in equality. I also believe in our judicial system, and I have great faith in it. But more than anything, I believe in love.
Something happened.
The question, who's the big cheese you're having here for lunch?
Roger.
Roger the fairy?
All right.
Did you hear that, Edith? You know who they're bringing around here for lunch? Roger, sweetie pie, Roger.
It wasn't that long ago that bigotry against gay Americans was open and accepted as All in the Family dramatized and challenged.
Just because a guy is sensitive and he's an intellectual and he wears glasses, you make him out a queer.
I never said a guy who wears glasses is a queer. A guy who wears glasses is a four eyes. A guy who is a fag is a queer.
If he turned on his old TV set today, Archie Bunker would be horrified. Will and Grace, Grey's Anatomy, Queer as Folk, Glee, and Modern Family. They all draw millions of American viewers, and they all feature gay characters in lead roles, naturally.
Mitchell's mother has a problem with me.
Are you guys together?
No, of course not. He's gay.
And she's married.
You're married?
You're gay?
Hello. How many straight guys do you know who wear vests?
Hollywood is leading the way, but also reflecting something deeper. Our ABC News poll shows 58% of Americans now support legalizing gay marriage. In just a few years, a complete turnaround. In 2004, just 32% favored it. Politicians know what that means. From President Obama,
I think same-sex couples should be able to get married.
To Hillary Clinton,
I support marriage for lesbian and gay couples.
To Ohio Republican Senator Rob Portman,
I now believe that people ought to have the right to get married.
There's a stampede of support for gay marriage at the highest levels. Big business senses it too.
My husband's bringing me a drink right now.
So is mine.
But businesses, politicians, even pop culture landmarks don't make change. People do.
I think people started telling their stories.
Jeff Zarrillo and his partner Paul Katami are among the plaintiffs who brought the big case in the Supreme Court.
It's when we started talking to our families and we start talking to our friends and our neighbors and our coworkers and people that we go to school with. When people realize that they have a connection to someone who's LGBT, they start to understand.
Rob Reiner, who played Meathead on All in the Family and who's a leader of the campaign for equal marriage rights, he says even Archie Bunker might be persuadable.
I would think Archie would be convinced if one of his friends or one of his daughter, not the daughter that I was married to, but if he had a child that was gay, I think he might be convinced.
In the end, it's about families, about all those conversations, about the fact that through them, gay Americans are really liberating themselves.
And we are an American family.